they were out for treat yourself, and a couple of the guys snuck in. We had a bit of a look at what was going on, and there were dresses everywhere and fashion everywhere. A little, what do you call that thing, catwalk here. And what I loved most of all was just watching Trish minister to the girls and speak over their lives and just bless them with some lovely fashion items, and to see the girls walking out with huge smiles on their faces, young and old, and just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it was a blessing very much to them. And this morning, when we planned this event, we planned to invite Trish to come and be with us on the Sunday morning also. And I just want to take a moment to introduce Trish to you. Trish and her husband Joe have been ministering in Melbourne for many, many years in Melbourne. Ran an awesome church in Melbourne, which is now Life Church, or Life is what it's called. And they're based themselves now in Planet Shakers Church in Melbourne, which is a global church and a huge church. And they're there ministering to leaders and pastors, and very much helping pastors that are kind of like transitioning in life and ministry, and so being a huge blessing to the church world. And of course, Trish travels and ministers in lots and lots of places, so we are so blessed to have her with us today. She's beautiful, she's colorful, she's extravagant, she's loud, she's proud, she's all things to all people. And I want you to stand to your feet today, and I want you to give a very big, warm Impact Church welcome to Trish Gagliardi today. Thank you. God bless you.
And you, Trish.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
Hello. Thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. You can all be seated. That was so kind. I feel really good. I feel like this is the perfect jacket for this morning now. I mean, I popped it on because I was just going to take out the rubbish. But I thought, why not leave it on for church too? True? Like, why not? Clothing, fashion's meant to be fun. It's not the answer, Jesus is, but it's close. But it's so good to be here. And firstly, I want to just thank your pastors, Pastor Tony and Cheryl, of course, is not with us because their grandparents again to nine, like six. That's pretty amazing, six. I mean, my daughter's been married 3 years and not one yet, but you know, no hints, no pressure. But I want to thank you, Pastor Tony, and to your beautiful wife, Pastor Cheryl, just for their kind invitation. You have an amazing... Now, I'm not just trying to say this because I am an encourager. I do love to encourage, okay, because it's just fun and it's true. It's a fact that, you know, kind words heal, kind words bring the best out of people. So, wives, you need to say some nice kind words to your husband today too. I know you already do, but just in case you don't, okay? But anyway, these aren't kind words. I just want to be honest. Like, thank you so much. You have a stunning church, beautiful women. I had a ball yesterday, and your pastors, Pastor Denley and Pastor Max. Is it? Maz. Oh, I already mucked up. Like, can I tell you the truth? Like, I'm 52. I know I look 21. But I'm kind of like 52 with a 90-year-old brain. Maz, you've got great pastors, and I just want to thank you. You know, thank you for your hospitality, your generosity, and just really encourage you. This is a great, healthy, stunning, normal, fun church. So if you are visiting today, you need to come back. You need to bring your friends. You need to bring your family, because church is a great place. It's a safe place to build, to grow strong, to do life, you know, with amazing people to walk alongside of you, to help you, to encourage you, to bring the best out of you. When you say you can't, they say you can. So anyway, before I start, thank you so much. So I thought I'd give you something to go with those white pants. Now, this is for Cheryl. You look amazing, by the way. You look really groovy. You're a cool pastor. So this is to give to beautiful Cheryl. I just, you know, want to encourage you and, you know, when she gets back, just say, Trish gave you these couple of pieces. I love this throw. Throws are fun to give away, you know, to give and to wear. But, you know, I don't know if I've ever met Cheryl. I don't think I have, but we're family forever. Like, she's just beautiful. I went onto Facebook and I stalked. I know none of you stalk, but I did. And I thought, wow, what a stunning, beautiful woman. So I just want to encourage you both. Just give this to Cheryl. She'll love it. If she doesn't, don't tell me. There's always somebody's birthday. She can pass it on. But no, she'll love that. And this gorgeous top as well. So I just want to encourage you both and thank you. If I knew, I should have brought some man clothes because I've got stunning clothes. You would have loved a sports jacket. But next time, if you get me back, you'll get a sports jacket. So no pressure, but be blessed. But yes, it's really good to be here. And yesterday afternoon, we had a great time with the women, and I love what I get to do. I've been in the fashion industry for like 1,000 years, or 20, over 20. And, you know, we are wholesalers now, and just long story short, which is really hard for an Italian to do, but, you know, I have a warehouse in Melbourne. We call our Girl Cave, and we are wholesalers. We have over 50 stylists across Australia that we are training and mentoring to style and to speak life. So I really believe, as a no-rule stylist, you know, that who says the perfect size is size 8, tall, skinny, blonde, brunette. I truly believe, with the amount of styling that I've done and the amount of people that I've spoken to, that true beauty is really inner beauty. True beauty is somebody that knows Christ, because in Christ is where your identity is. And when you discover your identity in Christ, everything is beautiful. Everything looks amazing. True? So, you know, we're just training them to really love on women, to encourage women. They have our range, and it's going absolutely amazing. It's so fun. It's a privilege to do that. I've been married 30 years. Can you believe that? It's pretty good. I was sharing with the girls yesterday that my grandparents divorced, my parents divorced, my elder sister divorced. So there is definitely a pattern. But when I married my husband and we become Christians, there was one thing I asked God. I said, God, I don't even want an ordinary marriage. I want a blessed marriage. I want to, like, have a friendship with him. And to this very day, I don't only love him, but I actually like him. And that's a difference. So, you know, like, relationships don't just fall out of heaven. You've got to build them. You've got to speak over them. You've got to encourage them. You've got to have date nights. I was talking to some girls yesterday, and we're so busy with life and with church and with family. When was the last time you went on a date with your husband? It doesn't have to be fancy. It just has to be a burger. Well, not a burger now, a salad. But I really want to encourage you to spend time to water the garden in your house, not the other side. It's never greener. It's only where you water it, true? So I don't know why I'm saying all that, but I feel like I need to. So that's right, because I'm 30 years married. So, and we have got a great relationship. Like, I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm just amazing. I've got a warehouse, 50 stylists. I mean, you know, we all live at the same address. We all have the same struggles. But I have a great relationship, a great marriage. We are best friends. I have stunning 3 children, adult children. I have a son who is 30, and he's a great man of God. And I have 2 beautiful daughters that are with me, Renee and Susanna, and I love when they're with me. Renee is my business partner. Susanna runs a building company with her dad. And I just love having them with me. It's a real privilege as a mum when you can't shake your daughters off. I must be doing something right. Do you know what it is? It's just being real. It's just being transparent. It's just saying sorry when you know you've done something wrong. Because kids see, they know, they hear. And, you know, I don't know what age your kids are at, but I feel like I need to just remind you that if they're at a young age, you know, my 3 kids are all wired different. And I have a beautiful son-in-law. I forgot Jordan. He's like the dream son-in-law. But, you know, my kids are wired differently. And I remember when they came home from school, I would say, you know, to one of them, hey, how are you going? And it would be like, blah, 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 blah. They just love to talk. And then I have another child, how are you going? Good. Well, I just want to encourage you as parents to dig. Don't be satisfied with So what did you do? Who are your friends? Oh, Mum, okay, it was okay. No, I want to know what you did. And dig and build relationship with your kids, because it's in there and they want to speak to you. Because if you're not influencing them, someone else will. Right. And you've got to be careful, you know. And I just want to encourage you to really influence your kids. And if you can't get through to them, youth pastors are amazing. You know, I used to get into the youth pastor's ear and say, hey, are you able to take out so-and-so for a coffee, for a hot chocolate, for a milkshake, for whatever, and just see where they're at. And they would see where they're at and come back and tell me. And, you know, so just really guide your kids, love your kids, encourage your kids, be the mum that God created you to be for them, you know. So, you know, I really believe as a wife, as a mother, you know, that my responsibility is to my family first. You know, to bring the best out of my husband, to bring the best out of my kids, to encourage them, to build in them, to love them. It's a privilege to be a wife. It's a privilege to be a mother. It really, really is. And I wake up with the privilege every single day. So if we have that mindset that it's a privilege, it's not work, it's not a burden, and every day is not always the perfect day, but it's a responsibility as a parent that we brought them into this world to lead them, to teach them, to guide them, to show them, and to smack them when we need to. A good smack is okay. My son's 30, I still smack him. Like, he's a detective. I have a son who's a detective. It's hilarious if I get time to share my testimony, because I was a bit of a crim back in the day. Don't let this bling fool you, but your bags are safe. But I'm still his mum. So I remind him, no, I raised you like this. No, no, no. Oh, Mum, you always get in my head. Well, good. I'd rather me in your head than anyone else. Now, do what I've told you, otherwise no schnitzels this week. Okay, so that's my family. So now the message I want to bring to you today is not just a message, it's a revelation that God had given to me months ago. And I had a message, and then just 3 days ago, the Holy Spirit said, this is what I want you to share with the church. And I really want you to listen. Get off social media if you're on now, okay? And listen, because if it helped me, I kid you not, it would help you. This revelation that God gave me has changed my life forever. It's a no-brainer. You're probably going to think, ooh, I've heard it. But no, you haven't heard this, okay? Because this will change your life. And I want to talk to you about your God-given authority. Let me say it again, because I know we hear it all the time about the authority, the power, just through prayer, through whatever. But your God-given authority. When you know your God-given authority, the sky is your limit. When you know what God has for you, the authority that he has for you, and you know how to use it, and I'm going to show you, you know how to ask for it, I want to tell you about that. I kid you not, your world will change, your marriage will change, your finance will change, your friendships will change, your relationships will change when you get the revelation of your God-given authority. And before I get into the scripture that God had given to me, which is in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was talking to his disciples about the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I have to share that with you because it has just changed my life. I do less in action and more on my knees. I get more done. Your breakthrough is on your knees. I kid you not, because so many of us think prayer is boring. We think reading our Bible is boring. I don't understand it. Now listen, I got expelled from school at the age of 14. I'm sorry. I'm telling you a little bit too much. I showed strong aggression toward a school teacher. I grabbed her by the in a headlock and dragged her. No. But I was a very angry young girl and I got expelled. And I'm telling you that because, you know, I'm not the most educated person. So reading the Bible, even to this very day, sometimes shh. But I kid you not, it's not going shh, it's going shh in there. Because when I'm ready to stand, when things come against me, when obstacles come, when the pressures come, when the disappointments come, when the things that life dishes out that are unfair come my way, I don't know, there's something inside me that wants to stand up and fight, that doesn't want to give up. And I kid you not, it's the time that I spend in prayer. Everything that I'm doing today, we opened a small boutique, you know, over 15 years ago. I didn't want to do business. We were senior pastors of a church. Business was the last thing I wanted to do because I don't do numbers. Hello, I was a very insecure, no confidence in business. I was like, I had no idea what GST was. Like, my husband's like, yeah, you've got to pay 10%. I'm not paying 10%. Who made that garbage up? This is a true conversation. Like, I would go home with cash in a box and like, what do I do with that, hun? Do we keep it under the mattress? My mum did. I'm only kidding. But I had no confidence and, you know, and I didn't want to do business. And then, you know, years on, like, you know, I would cry out. My prayer was like, God, get me out of this mess. I want to run events. I want to build a church. And we were still doing that at the same time. But meanwhile, I'm running this business that God was building. God had plans. And the only reason why I'm doing what I do today is because I stayed steadfast. I stayed planted in the house of God. And I stayed faithful to the things of God. And I said, God, this is not on my to-do list, but I know that you've got my life in your hands. I know that my life is, you know, under control because you have total control. And even though I don't want to go into a shop and serve customers, even though I love talking to people and I love fashion, I was a little bit, what's that word? Bipolar? No, I shouldn't say that here. Like double-minded. I loved what I did, but I didn't. I was just, but God had a plan. And even with what I do with the clothing, it's like I give away clothes, but it's a prophetic gift. Like it's kind of hilarious. It even shocks me that I had a dream one night and God showed me about giving away clothes, and then he told me how to give the clothes away, and he said the red cardigan represents the blood of Christ, that throw represents the covering of the Holy Spirit. And I was like, God, I can't possibly get up there. This is kind of weird. But, you know, when the things of God that are unique don't sound right, seem right, it's kind of unique and you just know that it's different and it's God, because God can use anything if you're willing. And, you know, and today I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. 15 years ago, it was like a nightmare. I'm living a dream. And, you know, I will get into my scripture, but I just feel like I need to just share this with you because, you know, when I think about the scripture, you know, does everyone know about when Jesus was just about to get on the cross and he stood before Pilate? You just have to be like a Christian for 5 minutes to know that scripture, where he stands before Pilate, ready for the cross, what looked like a disaster, what looked like total failure, what looked like the end. Like, this is supposed to be the king, the one that raised the dead, the one that healed the blind. And look at him, he's chained, he's bound, you know, they're going to crucify him. But that was his purpose, that was his destiny. But it looked like a total disaster. There were people in a room like this, the spectators, the judgmental religious people, the Pharisees, the soldiers, just thinking, come on, what's he going to do? Isn't he supposed to be the King of Kings, Lord of Lords? But, you know, and he's turned around to Pilate and said, not a shred of authority do you have over me except what is given to you from heaven. But that's the same for your life. It may not seem right. It may not look like it right. It may not feel right. But if you are in the will of God, if you are planted in the house of God, if you are flourishing in the house of God, and even though relationships you're struggling with, even though it's finance you're struggling with, it may be a personal issue that you're struggling with, but the breakthrough is going to come, because all you need to do is stay steadfast and trust God. Don't think your negative is, you know, a curse. Your negative is what's going to build you more into the character of Christ. Yeah. I had a negative season for 7 years. No one knew. Thank God for makeup. I was such a good faker. How are you going? Amazing. God, kill me now. I couldn't work it out. But God was showing me his heart. Things were happening in my life with women, with people, with friendships. And I'm kind of like, God, is there something wrong with me? But there isn't. I'm kind of normal. I think I'm normal. I am normal. Not that they're not normal. I mean, we all live at the same address. I'm not perfect. But I would question myself, and I always would make sure that my heart was sweet, that I had a good attitude. But I was just like, why am I getting treated like that? And I never took it personally. God was showing me his heart. He was showing me his goodness. He was showing me his kindness. He was showing me his mercy and his love. And that's what I love to use as my style. I'm reminding people of his goodness, the way he sees you, the way he loves you, the way he created you. It's not about a size, a color, a label. It's about Christ inside every single person. Okay. Sorry, I get a little bit passionate. It's the Italian in me. I have salami hanging in my pantry too. But I'll just read the scripture because I don't even have time. But I love in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, and this is what I want you to get if you get anything today. Okay, listen to me. Young people, okay, don't let me lose you yet. You're all young, okay, the mature young. Jesus said to his disciples, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I had a dream, okay? God gave me a dream about me trying to get into a house and I couldn't get in. I couldn't find the keys. It was one of those, you know, those dreams that you just wake up like, whoa. And because I'm thick, I had two dreams, okay? Because I still didn't get it. I didn't look into it. I was just like, wow, I had a dream and then just got busy in life. About a week later, again, I was trying to get into a house and there were these big men and I was just afraid in my dream. And then I woke up and I said, God, and this scripture came, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, keys? Okay, so what are keys? Like there are keys to life and keys to unlock and keys to lock. And the keys that God had showed me is this. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, Jesus says, so whatever you bind on earth, this is what I love, whatever you bind, you know what that means? Whatever's unfair, the stuff, the unlawful, the things that are going against you in your life, whatever you bind on earth will already be bound in heaven. That's kind of a powerful statement. I'm kind of like, yeah, demon? Yeah, pressure? You want to fight? You haven't got one with me because he's already won the battle. It's already been dealt with in heaven. And whatever you release, whatever you declare, and I tell you what, as an Italian, I ask for a lot. Like God takes a Nurofen Plus when I come into his throne room. Whatever you release, whatever you declare, whatever you ask for, the overflow, the double portion, the finance, the blessing, the family, the healing, the breakthrough, the deliverance. I claim souls in my family. I claim so many things over my business. I claim favor over my stylist. I'm claiming and I'm declaring and I'm asking. And whatever you release on earth will already be released in heaven. That's really powerful. I'm asking every single one of you in this place to make time with God. It doesn't have to be anything fancy on your knees. It doesn't have to be, you know, like anything fancy in your home. It can just be in your car. You can go for a drive. It doesn't have to be 30 minutes, 1 hour. It can be even a 5-minute conversation. My kids only need 5 minutes with me. They've got the keys to my house. None of them live at home. They all actually live together. How amazing is that? Even Renee and Jordan, they've just Airbnb'd their house. They're looking at buying another house and they're amazing business people and they all live together. Like my kids live in one big apartment. Like friends are like, yeah, you sure it's going to be okay? Yes. How negative can people be? Why wouldn't it be okay? They're kids and they love each other. But they've got the keys to my home. They walk in whenever they want. And they text me, sorry, Mum, there's no cheese in the fridge. sorry, Mum, the eggs are gone. They can just take whatever they want in 2 minutes. And I will say, no worries, do you need eggs? I'll go buy you eggs. 5 minutes in the presence of God will change your life. Where are you stuck? Is it your relationship? Is it your family? Is it your finance? Is it within yourself? 5 minutes in the presence of God to ask God to release His miracle, His love. He will do that for you. I promise He will. He's that close. He will do that, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. I don't go into God's presence with eloquent words. Eloquent? Is that the word? Eloquent? There is a school teacher here. Well, she's a maths teacher, and I got really scared and intimidated. I was like, Renee, give her clothes. Don't let her pay. She knows about money. But I just say, God, I don't really feel like talking to you today, because He knows your heart. Like, I'm a bit frustrated. I'm actually really angry, God. I'm kind of peed off. I don't say the other word because it's rude and disrespectful. But pee is like a pee that you eat, or pee that goes in the bathroom. But I'm kind of peed off. And God, you know, I don't know what to say to you, but I just feel really frustrated, and just this stuff always happens. And I just know, God, that if I come into your presence, things are going to change. So can you help me see what I'm not seeing? So one thing I know for sure, God, that you are the God of authority. You are the King of Kings. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Deliverer. You have saved me from so much, God. So can you just help me with this, God? Because I know, God, that I have a destiny. I know that I have a purpose. I know that I don't want to live an ordinary life, God. I know that I have a supernatural, extraordinary God. God, so I just pray, Father, that you show me, that you help me. So, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? God, so I just want to convince myself, because I don't have to convince you, God. I'm sure you know who you are. So obviously I don't know who you are. So let me just tell myself, that's right. You are, this is how I pray. Gosh, I'm a lunatic. But I do. Yeah, God, that's right. You are the God of authority. You have won the battle. You have done everything. You have paid the price for me. I am your daughter. You have given me everything that I want. So, Father, I bind the enemy. I bind the purposes. I bind the stuff that he has for my life. And, God, I claim and release your blessing. God, I will not stand for this. God, I know that you've got everything set out. So as I leave the door today in my bling jacket, may they not just see my jacket. May they see your love. May they hear your heart. May they feel your presence, God. So, Father, I thank you for this very day. Even though it doesn't feel good, God, even though I'm probably going to face a little bit of disappointment, I'm ready for it, God. But I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be loving, because you know why, God? I know that you've got my back. I know that you've got everything set out for me. So I love you. In Jesus' name, I give it to you. Thank you. That's it. How many of you have got prayers inside of you that you don't pray? Because the enemy says it's boring. He doesn't listen. There's worse things happen. Have you watched Channel 7 News with the Third World Nation? You matter. God wants you to come to Him. He has given you your God-given authority to walk into places and to take control of your workplace, of your family, of your personal life. Don't be hard on yourself. He loves you just the way you are. He doesn't want you to be the person next to you. He created you and broke the mold when you were born. You were perfect. I have the most amazing people that I style that will shock you with their insecurities, the stuff that they say to themselves in that mirror. Oh, no, I don't know, Trish. Oh, what are people going to think? Oh, what? Hello, aren't you 70 and over that now? I'm not judging them. I'm just learning. I'm just kind of like, well, I'm definitely not going to get like that. I'm 52 and I'm just going to completely tell myself that I am amazing, wrinkly or not. I am amazing because I have a God that has got my back, that loves me, and everything I do today is of God because I'm not smart enough. Sorry. I'm not trying to pull myself down, but I'm not. I'm kind of like, I get God ideas because I just surrender to Him. You know, my son, I'm saying he's a detective, and you know, his training to get into SOG. Do you know what that is? Special Operations Group. SOG. He's tough. My son, I've got to brag, he is tough. Because they train. And we have all his mates over for dinner. And do you know what their favourite dessert is? Rainbow ice cream. Is that how... Shh, don't tell them I told you. Big, tough SOG blokes. Rainbow ice cream on a cone. That is hilarious. It's true. Because there's a little boy and a man. But my son, I've seen him train, study, spend a lot of time to get that badge. He was a police officer for many years. He's just recently become a detective. So he, from the silver badge, apparently you get a yellow Freddy, the badge, the authority in that badge that can get him into places that none of us without that badge can get into. Sometimes we go for dinner and I steal that badge. Don't tell him. Is this being filmed? Because I'm going to get locked up. Well, I put it on my side of the table and pretend I'm the detective. So, like the customer service is amazing at a restaurant. When they see that, they're kind of like, psh, 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 she's a cop. So, like, they just change. It just brings something. No, it doesn't. But the badge has so much authority. But he's trained and worked really hard for that badge. You know, and I just love, you know, and I'll got to just read that scripture about how Jesus says, we have all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. He sends us. We don't need a visa. We have a badge, and his name is Christ, Jesus Christ. We have that same authority over our marriage to bind, to arrest, to put down that my son has in the flesh. You have that over your relationship, over your situation. Now, I'm not saying anyone else here, but we've got to be careful that we're not weak. Christians are strong. Be aggressive with your prayer. Be aggressive with your family. Be aggressive with your finance. Be aggressive with your friendships. Oh, you don't know what I'm going through. When I was... Well, I have a story. As a young girl, I was sexually abused from a family member. I found it hard to trust people. I found it really, you know, discouraging. I walked around for years with shame and pain, and I felt worthless. I know what it's like. But when I got saved, I got saved. My identity is not my past. My identity is in Christ. Strong, not because of what I do and because what I have. I shared with the girls even yesterday. You know, my identity is not a stylist. Look at me, 50 stylists. I have a warehouse and I have an amazing marriage, 30 years and 3 children and my son. Oh, he's amazing. My identity with or without them is in Christ. I will not put that pressure on myself because he saved me from that. There's nothing I need to do. There's nothing you need to do to please God. You're perfect. You are perfect the way you are. We've got to stop being hard on ourselves. I'm not a good father. I'm not a man. I don't do this. I don't do that. And wives, we've got to stop crushing our husbands, pulling them down. Oh, he just gets home. He's like a loser, just sits on the couch with the remote control. He's a deadbeat. How dare you say that about the man of God that he is? Speak life over him. Thank him for being an amazing man. Thank him for being an amazing father. Thank you for being an amazing provider. Remind him that he is amazing. He may think you're on drugs, but it's a good injection. Is that true? Come on, women. We've got amazing men, and we've got to remind them of that. And men, our wives, we're like the queen. Like, we are like the queen. My husband, you know, he treats me like a queen. I can't even tell you what he does. Every time we're going out for dinner, he's downstairs, he gets the snacks out so that I'm getting ready, and I come down to our little party, and then we go out with friends. But he is just like, we are constantly communicating. Like, there's no kids at home. I don't want to be one of those couples that sit on the couch and just stare at a garbage box. We talk about that. We cuddle on the couch. Oh, my goodness, 30 years, we cuddle. He always wants a little bit more than a cuddle. No. I just want a cuddle. Gosh. But that doesn't happen naturally. Communicate that. Date nights. Have a date night. We've been on date nights since the kids were small. The youth pastors or somebody in the church, I will just pay them 5 fish fingers back in the day. And I would just pay them and they would look after the kids and we would go out date nights, Friday night, Saturday night. We still do that. We go out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I was sharing with the girls last night that I have a rager of a husband. It's just who it is. I can stay home. I love my home. I love the washing machine. I love the sponge. I could wipe all day. Like, it's therapeutic for me. I do. But because I'm married to a rager and I love him, I'm kind of like, what have you got planned for us this weekend? Well, Friday night we're going out with Heidi and Doug, and Saturday night we're going with Gary and Kasha, and then I thought we'll go out with the pastors after church. Great. Like, amazing. But I'm always the last one to get home, so it's all good. But I'm saying, you know, get a life. Always have a life. It's fun. So anyway, I didn't even read my message. My message was really amazing. I'll give you one scripture. Oh, I've got to share this. This is like a favorite outfit. Put on all of God's armor. Okay, Ephesians 6. That's my favorite outfit. I'm wearing it. Okay? Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against the strategies and the tricks of the enemy. Put it on, the armor. And I've just got to share this before I close. As a stylist, I style a lot of men in the corporate industry, real estate, finance, and they wear suits. And when they put a suit on in my warehouse, they look in the mirror and they kind of like act like a supermodel because they're comfortable in their suits. And I style a lot of tradies. And they need a suit for a wedding or a funeral. So when they put a suit on, they start doing lunges. You know, like bicep curls. And I'm just watching them because it's hilarious. And they're like, oh, nah, Trish, it's too tight. This suit's too tight. And I'm like, you're not going to be doing gardening in it. Like, suits are to present well. Okay, so, you know, when you get uncomfortable on the night, just take your jacket off, throw it on the back of the chair, roll your sleeves up. But that's how it's meant to look. It's a slim fit. It's a European cut. It looks amazing on you. I can't give you any bigger because then you'd look like you're wearing your granddad's suit. And you've come to me for styling and this is how it's meant to be worn. And they're just doing their lunges and squats. And they're like, oh, are you sure I can sit down? I'm like, Renee, can you get him a chair? Sit down. Oh, all right. But they're uncomfortable. And you know the armor? Like, imagine if we had to wear armor. You think about it. Like, So then I thought about even the helmet. We have to put the helmet on. Why? Because it's to give us good thoughts. Who wants to wear good thoughts every day? No. I'm just going to have a 10-minute bad thought. She said, he said, but we have to wear a helmet. It's good thoughts. It's uncomfortable, but God wants us to wear our helmet. God wants us to put the belt on of truth. God wants us to hold the sword, the Bible, read our Bible. We don't want to because it's boring or we don't get it or we don't understand it or for whatever reason we don't have time. But we've got time for everything else. We've got time for nails and hair and watching, you know, what's been out on Netflix. What's it called? Game of Thrones? Is it Game of Thrones? Oh, like, sorry to say, but my husband's watched it all. But I haven't yet, but it looked a bit gruesome, but I do like that stuff. But anyway, because that's how I behave in the spirit. I chop legs off and heads off. Like, you've got to be aggressive in the spirit. Like, you know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities in high places. So anyway, in saying all that, we've got to wear our armour, you know, and we don't want to wear the breastplate to guard our heart. How many of you know of people that are hurting today? They're not even in church anymore because the pastor didn't say hello. And, you know, I wanted to be the worship singer. And even though I sounded like a karaoke member, I've still got a good heart. Why didn't the pastor choose me? And we get hurt because we're not wearing our breastplate. Like, I'm not trying to, like, I don't want to be a bully and mean. Do I come across like that? But, like, I get it. I get it and I hear it and I've gone through it. But I put my breastplate on. I'm like, no, God. Because I don't want to be one of those hard, angry women that I see and I've styled that are so broken because they don't know about a breastplate or they just don't wear it and they just let everything in and the hurt is what dictates their life. And I refuse for that in my life. And, you know, like I shared with you, I'm like, you know, so many of us in this room have a story. We all have a story of what's happened to us as kids and in relationships with partners and school teachers and things that have been spoken over us, and we can be dictated by those words. And I could be dictated by those words of, like, my father being an interstate truck driver, and he was under a lot of financial and personal pressure, and he would take a lot of his aggression out of me. You know, he was very aggressive on my life, and I grew up with so much fear and so much anger and frustration. And, you know, but today, you know, and being sexually abused and then being expelled from school, like, because I was a rebel, I was an out of control, I had an out of control mouth. I would just pull people down because hurt people hurt people. And then at the age of 15, I moved out of home, and you don't do that as an Italian girl. I moved out of home, and I kid you not, I had uncles, like, you know, underbelly. Sorry, but a lot of them are my uncles. I'm sorry, I don't really have a lot to do with them. But they would come to where I stayed with shotguns and tell me to get in the car. And I would say to them, if you dare hurt any of these people, I will kill myself tonight. And I tried to commit suicide twice. That's how of a much of a rebel and out of control person I was. And they would just look at me and say, get out, I've got to 10:30. And they would say, that's my daughters, like, holding up. How awesome are they? They're my bosses. And, you know, and I would go back, and I moved in with a heroin addict and his girlfriend, and then I began to live a life of drugs. And it was all downhill. I had no jobs, I had no money, and I would rob and steal for a living. Can you believe that? It's like, it's embarrassing to even say that, but that was my life. I knew nothing else. I was out of control. I never did anything fashion or anything girly. I was just out of control. But if I was dictated by all that, I wouldn't be standing here today. But even standing here is nothing fancy. Thank you for the privilege. But holding this or holding a broom is no difference to me. This is just a privilege. Like, I serve at my church. Like, they're like, Trish who? But, and it is Trish who. Like, who cares? That's Jesus. But what I'm saying to you, that I don't know where you're at today, but I want to give you an opportunity this morning, just before I close, that if there's stuff in your life that you just think, you know what, Trish, I want to just recommit my life to Christ. Or maybe you're here for the first time and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. I mean, I grew up in a religious home. I knew about God, but I didn't know him personally, and there's a big difference. I remember as a young girl when I got invited to church, I was 16 years old, sitting at the back of a church very similar to this, listening to the pastor say things about Jesus, dying for you, loving you. And I was thinking, God, if that's really true, then why did you let all these things happen to me? I was abused. I've got so much anger. And he just kept on talking about God's love and God's freedom. And if you give your heart to Jesus, he will come into your heart and he will change you. And I was like, God, if that's real, then I know my purpose. I know my destiny is to love you and to serve you. God, I'm looking for this peace. I've tried it in men. I've tried it in stealing. I've tried it in drugs. I've tried it in every area, in alcohol. God, if you're real, will you fill this emptiness that is aching inside of me? And he did that day. So maybe this is your first time in this stuff inside of you that you just think, Trish, I really want a relationship with Jesus. Can we just all stand right now to our feet and just close our eyes? Just the last 4 minutes. If you're here for the first time and you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord, this is not a, you're not joining a church, you're not joining a religion. God is a spirit. Like I shared in my prayer room, in my time, this is just where God wants to meet you right now. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, I'm just not going to pull you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to just pray for you before I go home. Can you hold up your hand? Or if you're, want to recommit your life back to God, there's just stuff that's got in, disappointments that have got into your life, and you're just like, I want to recommit. I want to recommit my life with God. On the count of three, will you put up your hand? One, what have you got to lose but everything to gain? Two, I know that God is real and he wants to touch your life. And three, right now, put up your hand. Just slide it up where I can see it. Is there anyone here? Thank you, I see your hand. Is there anyone else? Thank you, I see your hand. The two beautiful young girls, thank you. I'm just going to pray for you. Is there anyone else? I know. Put up your hand. Just put up your hand. Because as we put up our hand, we're just saying, you know what? It's you I want, God. Awesome. I see your hand. I'm going to pray for you now. Father, I thank you for the hands that have gone up. And you know the hearts, God. You know their desires, God. You know, Father, what they're going through. And right now, as they put up their hand, God, they're saying, I want you. I want to know you, God. I want you to come into my heart. So, God, I pray your favor. I pray your blessing. I pray, Father, that you will start a new beginning over the men and the girls, Father, that put up their hand today. And I pray this and declare this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. And for you that put up your hands, you know, I would love to meet you. We've got next steps because there are steps. After today, it's not just a one-day stand. This is like a journey that God wants to build a relationship with you. I'll meet you at Next Steps. We have got our clothing racks out there for fun, but I don't care about that. I care about you. Would you come and meet me at Next Steps? But I just want to thank you for listening, and I love you all, and you're absolutely amazing. But please spend more time on your knees or in the car. Try, test God, whatever you're going through, make a 1 minute time to pray about it, and I prove you wrong that you watch God show up. You watch, I guarantee you. And then you can Facebook me, inbox me and say, Trish, this is what happened, because I know that God is good and God is faithful. Thank you.